So I want to thank you once again for joining from multiple countdowns. And I want to spend a couple minutes now taking a look at a little bit of halacha and the philosophy of halacha of Sfiras HaOmer, but an intriguing machlokas rishonim that's not commonly discussed or thought about. I was looking back at what we had learned last year when we were physically together in Yeshiva in Zeisman Hall 104. So I wanted to get a sense of where we were last year in terms of Sfiras HaOmer, where we could go this year. As I think last year we had a chance to look at some of the very, very famous machloksim, some of the famous raid in the world of Sfiras HaOmer, which all, of course, goes back to that those two, three lines, Menachas Samach Vav, where the Gemara says that there's a machlokas, whether you count just days, machlokas amoraim, whether you count just days or you count the days and the weeks. And I think last year we had a chance to see how that unfolds into a machlokas rishonim, whether Sfiras HaOmer is d'oraisa drabanan, and then the famous discussions that surround the Shita of the Bahag, about why it is it or is it not true that the mitzvah requires counting all the days, and the question of the Prima Gadim and the Teretz, the various Terutzim, what that tells us about Birkas HaMitzvahs. But I want to take a look at something fresh. As I said, something that is, I think, it's a machlokas that's hidden, at least in part, hidden in the Torah. So if you take a look at Shulchan Aruch, Simon Taf Pei Tes, is in Aruch Chaim, the halachas of Sfira Sa'omer, not Avelos of Sfira, Minhagi Avelos of Sfira, which is a couple of Simanim later, but the actual mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer. What appears in Shulchan Aruch, particularly in the opening siman, is what we expect to hear. B'lel Sheni Achat Tfilas Arvis, Maschil Lisbar HaOmer, you begin counting Sfiras HaOmer with the beginning of Chol HaMoed Pesach, or if you're in Chutz Laretz, the second night of Yom Tov. And ideally it should be at the beginning of the night, the way the Shulchan Aruch presents is Im Shachach Lisbar B'tchilas HaLaila, Holach v'sofer kol ha'layla. Ideally, you want to count at the beginning of the night. And that's something that Tosfos already raises. Menachas Samach Vav. But you have all night long to count. Mitzvah kol echad v'echad l'spar. This is not a chovas ha'tzibor. This is a chovas ha'yachid. Unlike, let's say, counting years to Yovel, Sfiras HaOmer, counting days to Shavuos, is a chovas ha'yachid. Every Jew has to count la'atzmo. And from the Gaonim, Tzarech l'spar me'umad. And then he says, well, varech tchila, you have to make a bracha before you count. And then how do you count? So for hayamim v'hashavos, you count days and weeks. Again, that had been a machlokas amoraim, menachas samach vav. Most amoraim hold, you count both days and weeks. And that's what's presented in Shulchan Aruch. Ketzad, so what does that look like, counting the days and the weeks? So no great surprises here. Yom Rishon, you say Hayom Yom Echad, either Ba Omer, or perhaps La Omer, Ad Shemagia L'Shiva Yom. So the first night, the last night, we counted 5 days to the Omer. Okay. The first night was 1 day to the Omer. Right, tonight is way before Plaga Mincha, so it's still safe to say. Tonight will be 6 days. Tonight we're going to count that 6 days to the Omer. And that's the way it works until you get to day 7. And then you say, Hayom Shiva Yamim, Shehem Shavua Echad Ba'Omer. Let's say if you're the night of Isra Chag, or in Chutz Laretz, the night of Shemini Shel Pesach, you're going to count 7 days, which is 1 week. Still no surprises. Yom HaShemini, and then the next night you're going to count Shemona Yamim, which is Shavua Echad V'Yom Echad. And it's going to be 9 days, which is 1 week and 2 days. And so on and so forth until you get to 14. And then you say tonight is 14, which is 2 months. So on and so forth. And that's the end of Sif Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Taf Pei Tes. And you're probably wondering, why am I taking so much time? This is all Dvarim Pshutim. This is all in the Siddur. Okay, it's interesting that you can also find it It's interesting that you could also find it in Shulchan Aruch, but you know, no great surprises here. The surprise is when you come to the tour. Let's take a look. Can you all see the tour? Now the tour is screen shared with you? Yeah. Does he ever pick up the language of the tour upon which the Shulchan Aruch is based? Take a look here. We'll pick up the middle of what corresponds to Sif Aleph in Siman Taf Bei Tes in the tour. Mitzvah Echav Echav Luspar Le'atzmar Tzarech Luspar Me'umad Ulevarech Tchila. Here, this language is quoted verbatim the Shulchan Aruch. Each person counts on his own. You count standing. You say Bracha and Sofra Yam Vashavus. The tour already assumes that we pass can you count both days and weeks, as most Rishonim do. Balamar says it's really a chumra maker, then you only have to count the days. Okay. Ketzar, what does that look like? So, once again, Yom HaRishon Omid Mavarech Al Sfiras Omar Yom Yom Echad. Till you get to 7 days, you say Yom Shiva Yomim, Shavua Echad, etc. Yom Shmini, you say tonight is 8, which is 1 week and 1 day, and so on and so forth. V'chein La'olam, right? The tour begins with a Shulchan Aruch quotes, which is what we're used to. Every single day, from day 8 and on, we're going to have two versions of our count. We're going to give the full number, then we're going to break it down into weeks and days. Tonight is 10, which is 1 week and 3 days. Tonight is 20, which is 2 weeks and 6 days, and so on and so forth. But then he says, well, the Chas of Avi Ezri, one of the early Chachmei Ashkenaz, he writes, Yeshomim, She'ein tzarech limnos hayamim rak ad shema yagia l'shavua. What we do is version number one. But here's version number two. You only count the days up until you get to a week. So yes, you count tonight is 4 days, tonight is 5 days, tonight is 6 days. But once you get to a week, az yom hayom shiv yom shem shavua echad. Okay. And night seven also, 7 days, which is 1 week. How do things diverge after that? But here's sheet number two. Mikan ve'ech ein tzarech limnos yom shel shavua she'avar im ha'shavua haba. What do you do? B'yom shmini, just say ha'yom shavua echad v'yom echad. You don't have to say 8. She'kvar mena'am v'shavua she'avar. That's interesting. You stop counting the full total once you get past 7. You just say, tonight is a week and 2 days. Tonight is a week and 3 days. Tonight is a week and 6 days. Until you get to 14, then you say, Hayo arba'as hayamim, shem shnei shavuos. So when you get to a whole week, you have to give the full number of days. You bundle it into weeks. But then after 14, you're going to go 50, just going to say, we already counted the 2 weeks. 14 individual days, 2 weeks and a day. Huh. That's interesting. So the second sheet holds that beyond night 7, you don't count the full number of days. You just count the full number of weeks plus the remainder number of days. Tonight is 5 weeks and a day, 5 weeks and 2 days, 5 weeks and 3 days, 5 weeks and 4 days, 5 weeks, 5 days. 5 weeks and 6 days. And then you say, tonight is 42 days, which is 6 weeks. The next night, 6 weeks in a day, 6 weeks in 2 days. Interesting, sort of a funny type of shita there. And then it gives a third shita, which is quoted by some other Rishonim as well. Yesho v'yeshom, Rim shita number 3, she'en la'azkir shavuos el besof ha'shavua. You only mentioned, sort of sounds sort of like the reverse shita. You only mention weeks when you get to the end of the week. B'yom Shvi, you say, tonight is 7 days, which is a week. But on day 8, you only say, tonight is 8. Tonight is 9. You get to 14, say 14 and 2, which is 2 weeks. That's interesting. So Shulchan Aruch quoted just the first shita, which is what we're used to. That every single night you have both versions. In weeks and in days. Every single night, you're going to say, tonight is 9 days, which is a week and 2 days. That's the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the first sheet of the Torah. That's what's commonly practiced. But the Torah shared with us, there are two other ways of looking at it. Either both of the alternative shitos agree that you only do both versions when it's a full week. Tonight is 14 days, which is 2 weeks. Tonight is 28 days, which is 4 weeks. The difference between shita number two and shita number three is when you're in the middle of a week, what do you say? Do you just say with the weeks, tonight is a week and 2 days? That's version number two. Shita number three is the reverse. You only give the total number of days in the middle of the week. Right. So again, the first shita would say that you're going to, on night nine, you would say tonight is 9 days, which is a week and 2 days. That's what it says in the Siddur. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And it's the first shita in the Torah. The second shita in the Torah, called by the Avi Ezri, would say you only say tonight is a week and 2 days. And the third shita would say you only say tonight is nine. Right? All three logical possibilities. During the middle of the week, do you say both, or just weeks, or just days? If you look at this machlokas, it's a little, it might strike us at first a little quirky because we're so used to the way we count. It's hard to at first even wrap your arms around. There are two other shitas, and then you have to ask yourself, and it takes a little cheshbin just to think about what does it mean. I think the illustration with night nine makes it clear. Right? We always count both week's version and whole number of days. Shita number two would say in the middle of the week you only count week's version. Shita number three would say in the middle of the week you only count day's version. Then you have to ask yourself, once you understand what the shitas are, once you understand the ketzad, the question is, well, why? Why? You're a Rishon is looking at the Gemara Menachas Samach Vav. And the Gemara says, Mitzvah Mimni Yomei, Mitzvah Mimni Shavuei. The Mitzvah to count days and the Mitzvah to count weeks. And we're paskening, Rov Rishon, we're paskening like that Shita. So there are three possible ways that you can interpret that Shita. What would drive you to say one or the other? What are they arguing about? What's in the Kudus HaMachlokas? So the truth is, you look at the Balamar and others who talk about Shita number three. Shita number three is probably the easiest to understand. Again, Shita number three said that in the middle of the week, you just say 9 days. You only mention number of weeks at the end of an entire week. You only count whole weeks. So what does that mean? So what that means is that there are really two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of counting days, and there's a mitzvah of counting weeks. The simplest reading of the Gemara Samach Vav. Two separate mitzvahs. Mitzvah to count days and mitzvah to count weeks. So let me ask you a question. We all know the mitzvah to count days. How often do you count the days of Sfira? Do you count it every hour? Do you count it every minute? Or do you count it every day? So we all know to count days means to count every day once a day. And every day you count the next day. So if there's a mitzvah to count weeks, how often would you count? If you count days every day, how often do you count weeks? Every week. And that's why Baal Mor presents it. They're two separate mitzvahs. Count the days, count the weeks. So you count the days every day, you count the weeks every week. If there was a mitzvah to count hours of Sfira from Pesach to Shavuos, so then every hour you would count the hour. There is no mitzvah to count hours. But there is a mitzvah to count days and a mitzvah to count weeks. So every day you're making the mitzvah of counting days, and every week you're making the mitzvah of counting weeks. So that's shita number three. Every single day, you're going to count 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way to 49. And you're going to fulfill that mitzvah of counting days 49 times. Or 49 acts, anyhow, of counting days. How many times do you count weeks? 7 times. At the end of a week, you count the week. So you count the weeks on day 7. You count the weeks on day 14. You count the weeks on day 21. So that seems to be what's this third sheet in the Torah. Take a look at Baal Hamar. If I remember correctly, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the Sefer HaChinuch may also mention this mitzvah, this version. So it's two, the third sheet is saying there are two separate mitzvahs. Mitzvah to count days and mitzvah to count weeks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to count from Pesach to Shavuos in two different units, two different levels of granularity, counting day by day and also sort of zooming out the macro picture, counting week by week. That's sheet number three. Sheet number one, which we're used to, that every single night from seven and on, you're going to be counting in two different versions. Tonight is 9 days, which is also a week and 2 days. So the familiar sheet number one is saying, no, there's a single mitzvah to count days. But you count days in two different formats. It's almost like two different languages. You count days in units of days. You could also count days in units of weeks. So once you get to seven, there are two different ways to refer to every single night. So for going back to our example, on night number nine, there are two ways to say nine. You could say nine. You could say seven plus two. A week and 2 days. There are two ways to say 20. You could say 20, or you could say two times seven plus one, right? Excuse me, two times seven plus six. Right? You could say 20 days, or you could say 2 weeks and 6 days. So there are two different ways of saying 20 days, two different languages, in the language of days and the language of weeks. So the way we paskin, sheet number one of the Torah, is saying the mitzvah is to count days, but to count days in two different languages, to count days in two different formulations, in the language of days and the language of weeks and days. And then finally, how about that middle sheet of the Torah? What he quoted B'Shem V'Avi Ezri. That's, in a sense, the most obscure sounding. And at first it sounds like the most inverted. You only count days when it's a whole week. Right? The middle sheet of the Torah, V'Avi Ezri, would say that what? Would say that you only count that on night nine, you only say a week and 2 days. What does that mean? What does that mean? A week and 2 days, a week and 3 days, a week and 4 days, a week and 5 days, a week and 6 days, and finally, tonight is 14 days, which is 2 weeks. That's odd. That seems curious. Why are you only counting the days on the whole week? In the middle of the week, you only count weeks. What's pshat? Why would you only count a week and 2 days and not say nine? So the heart of the middle sheet holds that it's not two separate mitzvahs, one to count the days, the other one to count the weeks, like the third sheet says, nor is it a mitzvah of counting days just in two different languages, in the language of days and language of weeks, like the first sheet says, like we do. Avi Ezri seems to hold that it's a two-step, it's a single mitzvah, but it's a two-step mitzvah. You're counting days in order to lead up to counting weeks. Mashal Amahadav Radoma. Let's say you have coins. Some of you came with me last year to Mechiras Chametz with John Brown. We had a chance to see he came with rolls and rolls of quarters, and he cut them open with a pocket knife and was able to count to pull out individual quarters from the roll. Right? So imagine the reverse. You have a whole pile of quarters. So you want to put them into rolls. So you have a roll of 40 quarters, make a roll, obviously of 40 quarters is $10. And so I have a whole pile of quarters, and I start to put them into those paper rolls. So every time I have another 40, I put them into a roll, and now instead of having 40 loose quarters, I have a neat roll, a neat unit of $10. Right? And as I count more and more quarters, I keep counting up to 40, put them in a roll. So ultimately what I'm going to have is I've converted my whole pile of quarters into a neat stack of rolls of quarters. So how am I going to count when I'm done? $10, $20, $30, we count whole rolls. I'm counting individual quarters in order to get to the larger units. So this middle sheet of Sefiras HaOmer seems to say, you're counting days in order to count to weeks. I count The first 7 days, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, 7 days. Now that's a week. Shine. So now that I no longer have to count those first 7 days individually, now they're in a roll. Now they are wrapped up as a larger unit of a week. So now I'm going to count a week and a day, a week and 2 days, a week and 3 days, right? I already had my first 7 days already wrapped up in a roll, so to speak. But now I'm counting the remainder until a week and 6 days. Finally, when I get to 14, I could say, oh, that's 14 days, which I now wrap up as 2 weeks. I count 2 weeks in a day, 2 weeks in 2 days, and so on and so forth. Now, if you look at the language of the Aviezri, he says, "Ein tzarich limnos hayom rak ad shegila shavua." You don't have, you only count individual days up until a week. He says, beyond that, "Ein tzarich limnos yomim shel shavua she'avar." I don't have to recount the days of last week. He says, "Shekivar mena'am b'shavua she'avar." I recounted them. I'm counting each date in order to build up to larger units of weeks. But the goal, in other words, it's not, on the one hand, just two ways of counting days. Nor, on the other hand, is it two separate parallel counts of days and weeks. I'm counting days in order to count weeks. I'm counting individual days in order to make the bigger blocks of weeks. I'm ultimately counting 7 weeks to Sphira. They're not just two ways of counting days, nor is it two separate, disparate, orthogonal, independent mitzvahs of counting days and weeks. They're working in tandem. They're in series, not in parallel. I count days in order to count weeks. I count the small units in order to wrap them up into larger blocks of weeks, and then I'm counting the Mela 7 weeks to Sfiras HaOmer. And yes, there may be certain nafkaminas in terms of Lashitas HaBahag. If you miss a day, how does that impact you? Certainly, as other Rishonim point out, if it's two separate, the way the third sheet of Tur holds, two separate mitzvahs of a mamish, a mitzvah to count days and a mitzvah to count weeks. So if you miss a day midweek, you still have not lost your continuity in terms of the mitzvah of counting weeks. Something to think about. There may also be, there may be something else to reflect on in terms of the philosophy of the halacha as well. There's three different perspectives on Sfiras HaOmer. Whether it's two separate mitzvahs of counting days and counting weeks, the third sheet in the Torah, or there's a single mitzvah of counting Sfira, the way we paskin, the first sheet in the Torah, but in two different formats. They were counting them in two different languages, the language of days and language of weeks. Or this intriguing middle sheet of the Torah, the Aviezri, that there's like a rebundling going on. I'm counting days until I get to whole seven, that I can bundle them as a week. And now already they're a unit of a week. Now I'm going to look at the next 2 weeks and remainders until I can rebundle into larger, making smaller gains and then bundling those into larger blocks, into larger bundles. I think it does give us food for thought in terms of thinking of our goals and our gains over the course of the past Chorev Zman, which definitely ended in a way that none of us would have predicted. A singular Chorev Zman, if ever there was one, in our lifetime. And thinking about how our Pesach has been and will be. And also looking forward. Obviously, there are guys in this call who are presently in Eretz Israel. There are guys in this call who are presently in America. And honestly, none of us know for sure what travel will be like come Rosh Chodesh Iyar time. So if you're in Eretz Israel, if things reopen internally, so you'll head back to the yeshiva in Eretz Israel that you were learning in, but during Chorev Zman, physically head back to the yeshiva. If you're presently located in the United States of America, so we wonder, and only Ron Shalom knows, whether or not we'll be able to fly to Eretz Yisrael come Rosh Chodesh Iyar, whether he will take us all a Kaf Nisharim before then, or whether we'll at least be able to physically fly back Bedarach Hateva for Kaitzman, or whether you'll at least be beginning Kaitzman in the United States. Whether we'll be leaving our houses, we won't be leaving our houses. Obviously, there's a lot that we don't know. One of the things we've definitely learned over the last couple of weeks is that it really is true that only Ribbono Shel Olam knows what the future holds. We can make predictions, and often they're accurate, and sometimes they're not. And obviously, this sort of uncertainty, we'll call a spade a spade. Now, it can make all of us anxious to a greater or lesser extent. It also makes it harder to appreciate what we've accomplished, and it makes it harder to get in the mental and emotional zone of being productive going forward. Let's call a spade a spade. And at the same time, I think it's important to balance two things simultaneously. It's important to balance, you know, in a clear-eyed way, recognizing the uncertainty, recognizing what it is we don't know. Obviously, some of us, Klal Yisrael and the world as a whole, are grappling with a greater uncertainty on a more basic level, a health uncertainty of how people will be and how, you know, who will get sick and who will not, who will thrive, who will survive, and who will not, in the larger level. I don't know who's for whom that's closer to home family-wise. And even in terms of our learning, in terms of our learning and our personal growth, which are something that we have more control over than many other elements of our lives right now. If we're willing to be proactive and take control, as I know you already have, of your learning, of your personal growth, that's a way in which we can spiritually make impact. And I think the perspectives on Sefiras HaOmer may point the way forward. Because as I was saying before, it's important to be clear-eyed and to recognize uncertainty and to recognize how that naturally makes us feel. And at the same time to think about, to take charge of what we can take charge of, to take charge of, to assert ourselves within our own circle of influence. Not everything, you know, is within our control. It's always that way. Kadosh Baruch Hu is making it more obvious now that not everything is within our purview, not everything is within our control. But there are things which are. And to balance of recognizing the uncertainties and recognizing and being honest with ourselves about, you know, how we feel about the things that are out of our control, that's it should be recognized, but that should not be the ikkar of where our mental energies and focus lie. The ikkar of where our mental energies and focus lie, after recognizing and noting things that are out of our control, the ikkar should be on focusing on what is within our control. What can we do within the parameters of what health authorities expect of us? What can we do physically within the parameters? And certainly we have some degrees of freedom physically in terms of where we go, some degrees of freedom. We have some degrees of freedom in terms of what we can do when we're inside, or if you're in America, to the extent that you can get outside. And we have mental and emotional degrees of freedom in terms of what goals we're going to set for ourselves and where we're going to center ourselves and where we're going to primarily focus ourselves. The notion, the way we paskin, the first sheet in the Torah, that there could be different ways of framing the same count. Sometimes it could be different languages and different ways of framing, different ways of formulating 9 days. And that's that perspective on the mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer, the first shita. So, and that's one point. So there's to be able to, the most basic point perhaps, is to be able to formulate our gains. I did not get to learn X, but I did get to accomplish Y. That's not necessarily the most exciting, but that's sort of the most basic level. And that's the first sheet in the Torah, the one that we pass, like lehalacha. I think although we only pass like one lehalacha, all three sheets have important lessons. I think it's also, in terms of the third sheet of the Torah, the notion that there are two separate mitzvahs, the mitzvah l'mimne yomei and the mitzvah l'mimne shavuei, that already speaks to the idea of having multiple perspectives. In terms of multiple perspectives, let's first talk about the second shita, and then we'll come back to the third shita. Because that second shita, I think, is very, very significant. The notion of rebundling, having long-term goals for a zman, and at the same time also focusing on the fact that it's always true, and this is no doubt something you thought about a lot over Chorav Zman in Eretz Yisrael as well, that it's important to have long-term goals, and it's important at the same time to have short-term steps to that goal. Much as you count in Sfira, the second sheet that would hold the Avi Ezra, you count day by day, and then you bundle that periodically into weeks. You bundle your small individual steps into larger gains. And then you say, okay, now I've accomplished that. Now let's work on the steps toward the next major goal. That's the second sheet in the tour. A week and a day, a week and 2 days, a week and 3 days, a week. Oh, now, 14 days, now that's 2 weeks. Now I've rebundled the next set of smaller steps into the next larger accomplishment. It's always true of the course of a zman, right? And throughout life, every zman of a ben Torah for life is you have to have long-term goals, and you also have to have a plan of short-term steps to get to those goals, and to take pride in every step, and to take pride in the larger goals as they're accomplished. That second shita of the Torah. It would be, I think, wise heartening. It'll increase your Simchas Yontif and set you up for success in the next couple of months, I think. If you spend some time over the last days of Yontif, or last day of Yontif, if you are an Israeli, thinking about what the goals for Kayitz Zman look like. We may not know exactly where we will be throughout all stages of Kayitz Zman, but to think about what the long-term goal or goals, and the weeks, so to speak, of Kayitz Zman are, and to begin to think about the days that get to those weeks. I think that's very significant. It would be significant regardless, even under more typical non-pandemic, non-magefa situations. It's always significant to think about the Shavuos and the Yamim. I think here it's particularly important, and obviously the Shavuos may not be that much different. And what the long-term goals are don't necessarily have to be that much different, but the short-term steps are likely to look different if there's still going to be a lot of, for instance, Zoom involved. I think beginning to dream about what the weeks are, beginning to dream about what the big goals for the Kaitzman are, I think that's it'll increase your Simchas Yontif, and it'll put you in different, importantly different, proactive frame of mind. And finally, the third sheet of the Torah, the notion that there are two separate mitzvahs. The mitzvah to count days, and that happens every day. The mitzvah to count weeks, and that happens every week. I said before that Regetz is obviously thinking about the notion of multiple perspectives. And thinking about the second sheet of the Torah, we spoke about multiple perspectives within the Zman. Like, what are my big goals over the course of the Zman? What do I want to accomplish between now and Tisha B'Av? And then what are the days? What are the, day by day, week by week goals to get to those big steps, to get to those big goals? But for the third sheet in the Torah, there's a separate mitzvah count days, a separate mitzvah count weeks. I would say that maybe speaks to an even vaster notion of two perspectives. And that is to think about thinking small scale, thinking large scale, thinking micro and thinking macro, to think about what I want to accomplish over the course of the coming Zman. And the coming Zman may or may not be disrupted in terms of where I am. And we recognize that there are limitations to learning via Zoom and learning via phone. There are miles and there are chesronos. And that's all I would say the counting days. The coming Zman is days. The coming Zman is all, in a sense, micro, because you want to be simultaneously counting days and separately counting weeks, the third sheet of the tour. As you want to, it's important to dream about what you're going to do over the course of the coming Zman. And it's also very important to dream about what you're doing over the course of upcoming years. And what my goals are for the next 5 years of learning. Because Bedarach HaTava, we're not sure what the next couple of months, hold. But Bedarach HaTava, we can be pretty confident that you guys will not be going to your college graduation via Zoom. We can be pretty sure that you guys will not be dating via Zoom. And we're not sure whether restrictions will be rolled back over the course of the next couple of weeks, over the course of the next couple of months. We're hearing a little bit of, maybe 12 months or drop more. But we know that if you're looking at the course of years, Bedarach HaTava, as life will be more typical. As I think it's important to think about the upcoming Zman, and mitzvah l'mimne yomei, but also the other separate mitzvah and the third sheet of the tour of thinking big. Yeah, I'm not sure what the upcoming Zman holds exactly. Okay, call a spade, but also don't blow that spade out of proportion. And to think about, to dream about also what the goals are, how that Zman will fit into the goals for the next couple of years. How am I going to grow into a greater and greater Talmid Chacham, a more and more nuanced Baal Midos, and a more sophisticated Ovad Hashem, yes, over the coming weeks and months, and over the coming years and decades. So as I said before, it's a fascinating Machlokas HaRishonim, a little studied Machlokas HaRishonim. It does not appear in the Shulchan Aruch, only gives the first Shita. But we went back to the tour, we found three Shitos, and we discovered, first just, again, work in terms of understanding what the Shitos even mean, Ketzad, and then beginning to dig into what the Lumdus, what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is. And then finally, as we saw, begin to think about the philosophy of the halacha and begin to think about in what way can the lumdus of these three shitos, whether it's just a mitzvah to count days but in two different formats, or whether it's a mitzvah of counting days is step one towards counting weeks, two mitzvahs in series, you count days in order to count weeks, you count the smaller units, then rebundle them into the large units, or two parallel, independent mitzvahs of counting days and counting weeks, of thinking micro and thinking macro. We saw that lumdus could impact us in terms of giving us three different ways of looking at our progress over the upcoming Zman. Looking at the past Zman and the upcoming Zman, in terms of yes, recognizing the big things we accomplish and also looking at the small things we accomplish and taking pride in the small things we might not otherwise take pride in. Number one, corresponding to sheet number one. Corresponding to sheet number two, beginning to dream about our big goals for the coming Zman and thinking about the smaller steps we'll need to take to get to those bigger goals. And finally, corresponding to sheet number three, being able to think about two perspectives simultaneously. Be able to look at the micro perspective, now thinking about the entire Zman as Yamim, so to speak. And at the same time also holding in mind the larger perspective of Shavuos in the sense of where do I see myself growing over the next number of years. And I think these are very realistic ways of at the same time, while recognizing realistically the limitations of the situation that we're in right now, the limitations that Kadosh Baruch Hu has chosen to place upon us. Part of realism is recognizing limitations. Part of realism also is recognizing potential and recognizing possibility and choosing to be proactive and choosing to take maximum advantage of the potential of the opportunities that Kadosh Baruch Hu has left strewn throughout our present situation. And seeking to figure out how I can maximize my growth within the parameters of the situation, the divine parameters of the situation, and to maximize my growth, and in so doing, through this perspective, to change my mood and change my perspective and change my feeling significantly, and vastly multiply the amount that I can realistically, authentically accomplish over the coming weeks, months, and thereby set myself up to accomplish maximally in learning, in tikkun amidos, in be'am l'chaveru, in be'am l'makom, in the sophistication and nuance of my whole avos Hashem, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we sang about over in Ashir Ashirim, over the course, yes, of days and weeks and months, and thereby set myself up for over the course of years and decades. I boast, I think, so. Those who are in Eretz Yisrael probably need to get ready for Yom Tov soon. So we're going to sign off for now. I look forward, as always, look forward to being in touch through more Mirtz Hashem, more group formats. I think one of the things we've gained from this Zoom era is that we've learned that we can be in touch more easily than we thought, even when we are separated by a distance. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim that we shared last June, "My Rabbim Lo Yichlu L'Chabosas Ahava," a new Zoom has given us a new layer of understanding that thousands of miles of ocean don't necessarily need to separate us from each other, or the tens of miles between different physical yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael do not have to separate us from being the BMK Chevra that we are. So I look forward certainly to more group opportunities to get together as a Chevra. And you should take care advantage of them even when I'm not there, obviously. I look forward to more opportunities to be in touch individually. You should always feel free to reach out by phone. You all have my phone number. You all know how to WhatsApp me. And we can also set up to, for guys who want to schmooze by Zoom, some guys are already taking me up on that offer. I'm more than glad to be in touch. And Mitch, and we should separately, together, enjoy a last day and days of Yom Tov in a way that's suffused with a meaningful, realistic, holy, Ribon Shalom connected Simchas Yom Tov. It's worth remembering that the essence of, I'll leave you with this, the essence of Shri Shal Pesach is firming up and making permanent the initially temporary gains of the first days of Yom Tov. In the first day of Yom Tov, we see as Mitzrayim. The last day of Pesach was Kriyas Yom Tov. What that did, Kriyas Yom Tov did, was not only to save the Jews' lives in the moment, but it was also to permanently eliminate the military threat of a resurgent Mitzri army bringing them back. In other words, Kriyas Yom Tov made Yetzias Mitzrayim permanent. The freedom that they had, that Kadosh Baruch Hu had given them at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was no longer going to be yanked back by the Mitzri army. So that's the essence, I think, of Shvi Shal Pesach, is firming up and making permanent the goals of Rishon Shal Pesach, the goals of the Seder. And that's in Mirtz Hashem, the sort of work we began together right now, to think about what are our accomplishments already and how can we take stock of them, take pride in our accomplishments so far, and set ourselves up to continue to build magnificently further over the coming weeks of the coming Zman. And the coming Zman is a stepping stone in Mirtz Hashem to a lifetime, to years and decades of Zmanim to come. We're both to have a marvelous, productive, happy Yom Tov. I'm looking forward to being in touch. Shkoyach Chevra. Thank you so much for calling in.